Hello, hello. Okay, so we're doing the final five sayings of Proverbs today, of the 30 sayings that we were doing. So Proverbs 24, verses 13 to 22. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Also, know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their dwelling place. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. Or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with rebellious officials, for those two will send sudden destruction on them, and who knows what calamities they bring. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I can get on board with the beginning of today's passage. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. I agree, it is good. That is a good proverb. I'm going to follow that one very astutely. And I think there's something quite virtuous about honey, because it's seen as healthier than refined sugar. Apparently, there are health benefits as well. But also, where there's honey, it means there are bees. And we all know that bees are apparently essential to our ecosystem and keep everything going. So where there is honey, there is goodness. And it's a sign that things are well. And it tastes good. But of course, this proverb isn't actually about eating honey. It's using imagery to help us to reflect on how good wisdom is. Wisdom is like honey for us. Now, apparently, honey is mentioned 60 times in the Bible. So let's have a test. Can anyone think of any places where honey is mentioned in the Bible? I'm not expecting you to get all 60. That's a lovely place to eat honey from, isn't it? The carcass of a lion. Delicious. I might stick to toast. Anything, any other passages anyone can think of? Very good. A classic. The land flowing with milk and honey, yes. I'll give you a clue. John the Baptist. What did he eat? Honey and locust, another delicious combination. Yeah. So there's loads of examples. All the others are quite obscure, actually. But the two key ones are the land flowing with milk and honey and John the Baptist eating wild locust and wild honey. And in both of these examples, honey is seen as a sign of God's good provision. So the honey sustained John the Baptist when he was in the wilderness. And it was a sign of a future hope for the Israelites. God was saying, I'm going to provide for you. There's a land here. Your needs will be met. And so in this saying, saying 26, we can see that sentiment is echoed. So we know the beginning bit, eat honey, it's good. We like that bit. But the second bit, it says, know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. So through wisdom, God is providing a future for us, and he's providing hope, and it is good, and it is sweet. But as I was reading this sentence, one word jumped out. If you find it. Wisdom is something that we need to find if we're going to experience God's provision of hope and a future. So in my house, an exchange that you'll hear a lot of my children saying, Mummy, I can't find my coat. I can't find my shoes. I can't find my toys. And much to their annoyance, I'll always respond, have you tried looking? And they never have. And when they do try looking, they find it. We need to look if we're going to find things. So if we're going to find this wisdom that is as sweet as honey and which is God's provision for us, we need to look. But where do we look? So the Old Testament, if we go to these other mentions of the word honey, this gives us a clue as to where we need to look. So in Psalm 19:10, it says, "The law of the Lord is sweeter than honey." In Psalm 119, "The word of the Lord is sweeter than honey." And in Ezekiel chapter 3, he has this vision where he physically eats a scroll, and the scroll tastes of honey. So we get in this theme, the Bible is this source of wisdom. This is where we need to look. And Jerry spoke a few weeks ago about delighting in the word of the Lord. And so that is a really good place to look for wisdom. But it's also particularly about following commandments. So if we follow the commandments, that's another way of finding wisdom. And Jesus really simplified this for us. He said there are just two commandments. Love God with all our hearts, soul and mind and strength. And love our neighbours as ourselves. And these are really good things to do. They're wise things to do just in themselves. But they also point us to the source of wisdom itself, Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Jesus is wisdom personified. Jesus is the way to a future. Jesus is the reason that our hope is not cut off. So if wisdom is like honey and a sign of God's provision, then how amazing is it that his provision was to provide himself to come personally to be that wisdom for us? So if wisdom is God's word and that word incarnate in Jesus, then we found the answer. Find wisdom, find Jesus, follow the commandments. That is our way to a future and to hope. But there are four more sayings. That was only saying 26. So why do we have another four? Well, if it was that simple, we would have all found wisdom and we'd be living these wonderful, peace-filled lives. But we get distracted. We get distracted from the search for wisdom. We forget that we found it in Jesus. We look elsewhere. And we live in this world where there are so many opinions trying to throw us off, distracting us from what is right and wrong. So the author has given us some more wise words to help us know what we should do. So have you ever heard the phrase, "It left a bad taste in my mouth"? This is a phrase we often use if we have seen or experienced something which is just not right, it's unkind or unjust, something that just hasn't sat well with us. It left a bitter taste in my mouth. And so that's what these other sayings do. They show us this contrast of the sweet taste of wisdom with the bitter taste that's left from wrongdoing. So let's have a look at saying 27. "Do not lurk like a thief near the house of the righteous. Do not plunder their dwelling place. For the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." So I wonder if you've ever been particularly appalled when a crime is committed against somebody good. At university, a friend of mine was training to become a medic, and the two of us were on our way to the pub, and we came across this man who had collapsed in the street. And so getting her medic hat on, she snapped into action. She put him in the recovery position. She was checking his breathing, his airwaves, looking after him. Eventually he came round and he was fine. We sent him home with his friends. And so we carried on our merry way to the pub. It was then that my friend realised her wallet had been stolen while she was helping this man. And that left a really bad taste in our mouths. Why would you do that? She was doing the right thing. She was being good. And someone took advantage and stole from her. But this hasn't stopped her being good and kind and helpful. She would do the same again. She would always stop to help someone. She wouldn't stop being the good person she is because of this bad experience. And we know that the righteous will rise again when they fall because God helps them to. He helps them, he helps us if we think of ourselves as the righteous ones. And he does that by enabling us to heal and to forgive. And when we're weary, he enables us to keep standing, and he enables us to carry the burdens that we're given. And ultimately, we know that God will enable us to rise again, even when we die. So we've got this word of warning, but this message of hope. But what about when something bad happens to somebody evil? I watch a lot of films with my girls, and they're often very formulaic. You have your goodies, your baddies. The baddies stumble, and we cheer, and we rejoice. And then the goodies prevail, and we cheer even more, and we rejoice. And we love the happy endings. But should we be reacting exactly like that? Let's look at saying 28. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. I'm sure this proverb isn't talking about our reactions to films or pantomimes. I think we can still boo when the baddies come on. But we do hear in the Gospels, Jesus teaching, he has instructed us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us, which is very different from gloating and rejoicing when they fall. And why should we love our enemies? Because God loves them. In Matthew it said, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves, he forgives, he redeems, and we are called to be like him. So we're called to follow his commandments, which are wisdom, and they're sweet like honey. But we can also love our enemies because we know that God has got a plan. Evil does not prevail. There is a happy ending to this story. And at the beginning of this series, Dan spoke about these sayings, helping us to build our confidence in God, to trust him. And saying 29 helps us to do that. So let's have a look. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Evil doesn't prevail. And we know that because of Jesus' victory on the cross. We know that evil was defeated, and we know that one day all of creation will worship Jesus. Not yet, but God has got this. The lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. And the light that will shine is Jesus, the light of the world, shining in all his glory. And so we won't be left with that bad taste in our mouth of wrongdoing. We'll be entering heaven, where there will be plenty of honey, I'm sure. And so we get to the final saying of saying 30. Where does the writer want to leave us? What are his parting words for us? Fear the Lord. So he's not getting at being frightened here. I don't think God wants us to be frightened of him. But it is about recognizing who God is, recognizing that he is holy, and therefore he knows best, and we should obey him. And we've seen from all the other 30 sayings, God is wise, and his wisdom is good, and he wants to share that wisdom with us so much that he came to earth personified in Jesus, wisdom personified. And his wisdom is like honey for us. It gives us a future and a hope, and our hope will not be cut off. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to this world to show us in person how to be wise. Thank you that your wisdom gives us a future and gives us hope. Lord God, help us to find you. Help us to find your wisdom. And help us to know that hope and the future that you long for us to have. Amen.